Greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, a question you'd like to pose, good opportunity right now. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about forgiveness this month, such an important topic, but there's a why of forgiveness, and we talked about that yesterday. The why is the fact that God desired to be reconciled to us, and so in that desire, he had to forgive us, to release us from our debt of sin and the consequence of sin, which is death, so that we could be reconciled, so that we could be restored to relationship, so that we could receive righteousness, so that we could be declared blameless and holy in God's sight, so that we could be saved by his life, or as Peter put it, the righteous died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Yeah. So Christ died, he reconciled us to himself, he balanced the heavenly books, so that we could be in relationship with God. So forgiveness isn't the end, it's a means to the end.
Right.
And that end is the saving life of Christ, this relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's interesting, when Christ did that reconciling work, we were in a mess. Humanity was in a mess. And all of these passages that Paul deals with reconciliation, Romans chapter 5, Colossians chapter 1, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he paints a picture of who we are. We're sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 5, it says that while we were yet enemies, so we had positioned ourselves as enemies of God. I mean, God's never been our enemy. God has never been against us. He's always been for us. And the fact that he sent Jesus is a perfect example of that, of God's great love for us. So we had positioned ourselves as enemies. We were alienated, hostile in mind because of our evil deeds. So that was the condition that we were in. And even in that condition, when we were at our lowest, so to speak, our furthest away from God, God reached out to us in Jesus and reconciled us to himself. And what do you call that? I think you call that amazing grace.
Indeed you do.
It is truly amazing grace. And so I encourage you, our listeners today, once you listen to the broadcast and tonight when you have an opportunity, open up your Bibles and read Romans 5, 8 through 10, or actually 8 through 11. Read Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. And then read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. I think you will be really blessed to see the message that all of this is from God. He's the one that initiated this. He's the one that reached out to us. We weren't in a position to reach up to God, but God reached out to us and he saved us. And to do that, he had to forgive our sins. So once you know the why of forgiveness, you know why he did what he did, then the only conclusion that you can draw is that he had to forgive all of our sins.
Yes.
If he wanted to restore a relationship, then he had to forgive all of our sins, not just some of them, not just our past, as if all of our sins weren't in the future when Christ died for them 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But he had to deal with all of them so that this end could take place, and that's the saving life of Christ Jesus.
Indeed, and that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. And Bob and Richard, as you have so eloquently said, if people don't understand that all their sins have been forgiven, they'll never grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, your gift will directly help us to communicate the gospel, allowing others to grow in their faith and to rest confidently in the truth that will indeed set them free. To help in this regard, we have an excellent new resource. It's called It Is Finished, 5 messages and a 2-CD set that explains the forgiveness is yours. You don't need to ask for it. You don't need to fear losing it. As a child of God, it's always yours. only because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his indestructible life demonstrated in his resurrection. It is finished, available for our faithful listeners during this month of May. Well, again, 844-322-2742, that's the number. And if you'd like to join us live, you could do that right now, 844-322-2742. Several calls came in overnight, and let's listen to a call from Lee right now.
Hello, my name is Lee. Some years ago, I became a Mormon, and I met my wife at that time, and I started going with her to her church and was introduced to the gospel of grace. And I believed that Jesus, and I always have believed that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I prayed for him to come into my heart and save me and all that. But I struggled for some time with the works versus grace thing. And anyway, I returned back to Mormonism, and I've discovered that Mormonism was a lie. And now I've returned back to the true faith. And now I feel absolutely sure that I'm saved. However, I was wanting to find out if I was really saved back then and if I need to be baptized now, since I'm sure I'm saved. Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, Lee, thank you for calling. We certainly appreciate that question. And boy, this issue of faith and coming to the truth, it's interesting the different paths that people take. And certainly it sounds like Lee has been somebody that's been searching for a long time, and he probably likes some of the features of Mormonism, the exterior of it that looks so good. And yet when he got into it and really examined the belief system, he found that it wasn't true. And so he's come back to Christ. He's come back to Christianity, and he knows that he's saved. And we didn't get a lot of information as far as how that happened for Lee. And so he's wanting to know, should he be baptized and that sort of thing. And Lee, as far as, what your faith was years ago before you kind of left Christianity, you went to Mormonism, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you if you were saved back then or not. I don't know the genuineness of your faith, but obviously you had some struggles. You had some doubts. But the issue is that you're saved today, and that's the important issue. And I think you should just rejoice in that. And if you've never been baptized, you've never been water baptized, I would encourage you to do so, because that is a public announcement that you can make. Yes. To the body of believers that you're in, and it's a celebration. I think you want the body of Christ to celebrate with you that you know mm-hmm. that you have spiritually already been baptized into Christ, placed into his death, into his burial, and you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So I would certainly encourage you to take that step and to get water baptized and let the congregation, let your family celebrate with you exactly what Jesus Christ has done in your life and in your heart to raise you from the dead spiritually and to raise you to life so that you can walk in the newness of life.
Absolutely. I believe Andrew Farley has joined us. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm here, guys.
Yeah. Hey, man. Good to have you with us today.
Great to be here.
Well, again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you live on Basic Gospel. Another call that came in last night.
Hi, this is someone who is listening to you for the first time and really felt compelled to give you a call. Really enjoyed your message today. My question is actually a little complicated, but I think of Fanny Crosby and what an amazing witness to the Lord she was, and how incredible her songs have been to so many people for so many decades. But I also know that she was plagued with depression her entire life. And actually, that is my question, because it seems there are a lot of people who deal with pretty heavy depression, and yet they are Christians. And sometimes the joy of being in Christ is overshadowed by the weight of those feelings. And it's not something that normally gets talked about. And so I thought maybe you might have some input or insight that you could share with us. Thank you very much.
Wow, what a great question. And she mentioned Fanny Crosby. I know I'm a big fan of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, love his writings and sermons. And I understand he battled depression most of his life as well. So can Christians be depressed? I think the answer is yes, isn't it? But how do we break free from that?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to go back and say, what is the cause here? And sometimes, many times, the cause is circumstances. And when the cause of a depression is circumstances, well, we need to recognize that there is a new way to think in Christ. There's a new way to think and a new way to respond to those circumstances. So some of the things that will depress believers are that we hold up unrealistic expectations for other people or for situations. You know, we're hoping for that raise at work and we don't get it. We are hoping to really connect with someone as a friend and then that relationship falls through, or perhaps there's death or loss or you name it, poverty, whatever it might be that hits us, and we have expectations. And when we hold to those and they're not met, then that can certainly lead us to feelings of depression, and we can find ourselves mired in depression for some time. So, you know, guys, I think first it's important to identify the root of the depression. We don't want to paint the picture that, you know, if there's a physical cause, if there's a sickness, if there's an illness, if there's something going on that's, you know, a result of this flawed, fallen world. Well, that's one thing, and people need to seek medical treatment if that's the case. But if it's a circumstance, you know, it's a mindset then. It's an attitude issue. Then what the Word of God says about that is that we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that's where the truth of the new covenant comes in. You know, a lot of times we think our problem is our problem, but our problem might not be our problem. A lot of times our problem goes deeper. It's our understanding of the gospel, our relationship with God, how close we are to Him, how clean we are before Him, understanding the new covenant, that we're united with Christ, that we're forgiven, that, you know, He's crazy about us, that we're living under grace, that there's no pressure. These sort of thoughts need to permeate our entire lives. Otherwise, the enemy can really get us in a bind and have us fixated on depressing thoughts.
Yes, indeed. You know, most psychiatrists, psychologists, when they look at the underlying issues of depression, guilt plays a major factor in most depression that people experience today. Guilt over a past sin. They feel like they've kind of outsinned the grace of God. They're beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. And that's where this message of the finished work of Jesus Christ is so vitally important. So once a person can understand that their sins have been taken away once and for all, and that they stand before God as a forgiven person, then one of the contributing factors that leads to depression can be taken out of the way.
Yeah.
We can really rejoice in what Christ has done. You know, as far as Christians being depressed, we all go through the ups and downs of life. And some of us certainly go further down that path into, you know, anger and fear and self-pity, which can turn into depression. And a lot of times, you know, it is just circumstances, and we need to learn, as the Scripture says, to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. And really, it's that attitude of thankfulness that provides the breakout from these emotional pits that we can get ourselves in.
Yeah.
But we have a wonderful little resource. It's a free resource called The Pathway to Peace. and we outline how somebody could get into those depressing states, and you know, through circumstances, through erroneous thinking, and how somebody can break free from that. And we want to make that available to anyone who wants it. It's free of charge. If you will just write to me today, Bob at Basic Gospel, and say, I want the pathway to peace, we will respond to you and get that resource to you. It is a valuable resource. It can help you in your personal walk with Christ. It can be a wonderful tool to pass on to people that you know who may be down, and some people who may be experiencing depression. And this may be something that can help them identify where they are and how Christ can be the answer for their particular situation.
Be sure to drop that email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll get that on the way to you. Again, 844-322-2742. And, friends, want to remind you that something very, very special is coming up. It's a year from now, but, hey, plenty of time to plan. If you've ever wanted to visit the Holy Land, here's your chance. May 25th through June 6th of next year, now, this exciting tour of Israel will include the most historic biblical sites. It will include Jerusalem, the city of our redemption, and a visit to Petra in neighboring Jordan. Registration is now open, and we want you to be among those on this fabulous tour. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the banner at the very top of the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Israel coming up.
Yes, indeed. And let me encourage you to go to this website and take a look and make a decision pretty quickly, because spots are already filling up. I think almost 25% of our available spots are already taken.
Wow.
So if you want to go with us and see that Holy Land, see one of the most beautiful countries in the world through the lens of the New Covenant and this amazing grace that God has poured out on us in Jesus Christ, visit basicgospel.net. Just click that banner at the top. Come join us. I guarantee you it'll be an investment that you will not regret, that will pay dividends for you for many, 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 many years to come.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley joining us. I'm Bob Davis, and glad you're with us. Let's listen to this this call that came in overnight.
Yes, 1 John seems to contradict itself, saying if we say we have no sin, we lie. And the third chapter of 1 John, I think it's 3:9, he says, who's born of God cannot sin. So I'd like a clarification of this. Thank you.
Is there a contradiction?
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, what we're finding is in 1 John 1, it's talking about sin deniers, the idea that people were saying, I've never sinned a day in my life. And, you know, there's no such thing as sin. These were Gnostics, early form of Gnosticism, which denied sin. And then, you know, John is saying in that chapter, hey, come to your senses. If we, any one of us, is saying that nonsense, we need to come to our senses, admit our sinfulness, and guess what God will do? He'll save us. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And by the way, he'll also fill us with his life. So that is all in reference to unbelieving sin deniers. Then you get over into the rest of 1 John, chapter 3, for example. And what he's saying there is, hey, if you're a believer now, if you're born of God, if you're born of the Spirit, then there is a new trend within you. Like some translations say, we can't keep on practicing, we can't practice, we can't keep on keeping on, if you will. And that's the verbiage there. Guys, the reason is because he who began a good work in us will carry us on to completion. He's going to finish what he started. So there is a trend reversal in the believer. It doesn't mean that we never commit sins. Of course, John says, if any of us sins, we have an advocate with the Father. So clearly we commit sins, but it's not our heart anymore. It's not our nature anymore. It goes against who we are now, and we need to see that there is indeed a trend reversal, and that has ongoing consequences in our lives as we get our minds renewed to truth and we start walking in a brand new way.
Yeah. Well, that passage you were mentioning, Andrew, is 1 John 3:9, and no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. That's good news, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. Is. Yes,
it really is. Well, thank you for that question. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, and friend, I want to remind you that you can stay connected every day with Basic Gospel through the Basic Gospel app. Now, lots of folks have downloaded the app and are using it and staying connected with us, as I said, even posing questions through the app. So we hope you'll download it today. Had this question that came in overnight as well.
How many times does Jesus forgive? I mean, 49 times, 7 times, 77 times. But if it's finished, then it's finished. There's no more forgiveness. There's no more lamb. So man has been restored, but if you've been baptized and been forgiven and you sin, because we can't help but sin, we're just born that way. So when does forgiveness stop?
Well, certainly Christ has already forgiven our 7 times 70. He took every single sin that we've ever committed upon himself, and he died for it, and he sent it away, and he remembers it no more. So when we receive him, we receive the whole enchilada of forgiveness, don't we? I mean, he doesn't dole it out one sin at a time. He just gives us forgiveness of sins, and that is such an important truth for us to understand. So Christ has already done the 7 times 70 as far as we're concerned, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, this idea, and it is so rampant, so popular today, the idea that God is forgiving us in installments. You know, I like to joke that it's like the Hunger Games. You know, you get a little parachute coming down out of the sky, and here's your portion of forgiveness for today, and then for tomorrow, and then the next day. It's like we're getting some sort of help little by little from God up in heaven far off. Well, that's not the gospel message. We are not being forgiven in installments. We have been forgiven once for all. And the reason that he forgave us once for all was so that his presence would never need to be revoked. I mean, Adam and Eve lost the presence of God because of their sin. We would lose the presence of God because of our sins. But we don't. We don't lose his presence ever. Why? Because he took away our sins once for all. So we are not getting help from heaven little by little in portions or parachutes. God is not forgiving us in installments. Instead, he has taken away our sins once for all. That's what the Bible says. Whether he says, I remember your sins no more, or if it's when he says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, or when he says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand, nothing can separate you from the love of God. All of this is an indication that we are forgiven people, and he'll be with us forever.
Boy, and that is such great news. And that translates into us as far as our relationships one to another. I mean, we are in time, and so we can only deal with one another as sins happen in time. Mm-hmm. And because of this eternal forgiveness in Christ that we have, and we know that the person that we're in relationship with has the same forgiveness, then we can deal with each other and do exactly what Paul encouraged us to do in both Ephesians and Colossians, to forgive one another just in, as God in Christ has, past tense, forgiven us. So based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can extend forgiveness one to another. 7 times 70.
That's a lot.
Yes.
All right, folks, I want to remind you that Basic Gospel is listener supported, and to help keep the good news coming, you can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. And of course, when you donate during the month of May, we have a wonderful new resource for you. It's being created even as we speak. It's called It Is Finished. It's 2 CDs, 5 messages total, and I know it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. So as you make your donation this month of May, we'll get that to you. It is finished, and it's going to be really, really good. Well, we want to remind you once again that this same phone number that we talk about every day that we give on the air is available anytime, 24 hours a day. We'd love to hear from you. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be here for a study in Hebrews tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.